Take your Bibles and turn with me to John 15. You know, it's pretty amazing how God ties things together. Because when Marnie called, and Marnie still don't know what I'm preaching, but with everything about love and everything going on, and we're going to start out this morning talking about love. Then we're going to go to talking about the anointing, and then we're going to go to something that we're going to talk about giving. And people say, yeah, pastors can always talk about giving. This is going to be different. If we are going to take our city, if we're going to take our state, if we're going to take our country, or if we're going to be allowing God to work through us to do it, there's a couple things we need to know. Now, how many of you ever said, I know God loves me? How many ever said that with a lack of assurance? How many of you ever said that saying, well, I hope so? You know, how many of you ever told somebody, God loves you as much as he loves me, but then you were wondering, I wonder how much he loves me? Sometimes we have to stop and say, God loves me as much as he loves you. We live our lives too often in hoping instead of knowing. We live our lives knowing about grace, but wondering why. Do you know what the scandal of grace is? Do you know what the scandal of grace is? God saved me so I could perform for him. God saved me so I could do something for him. God saved you for one reason. He loves you. In John 15, verses 8 and 9, it's very important that we understand this. By this my Father is glorified, in verse 8, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God is glorified by our fruit bearing. We all want to bear fruit. You have fruit trees, you want them to bear, don't you? But then he says this, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus is stating something very plain. I love you. It's not based on your performance. Even if you curse the name of Jesus, even if you did not believe anything about the Bible, even if your life was in drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it might be, God still loves you. But he's waiting for you to come to him. And if we are going to get out in the front lines where God wants us to be and do the things God wants us to be, today seal something in your minds that God loves you exactly the way you are. The point is, in performance, we try to earn the love of God when God's already given it. Relationship is the key, not performance. We come to a place, well, I understand I don't deserve anything God has blessed me with, but he gives it to us because he loves us. Can you say amen? Can you understand that even when it seems like you're out there all alone? Even when no one's following you, even when things seem to be going wrong, even when things are breaking down, can you just come to a simple fact? God is saying, I love you, and that's all that matters. How many of you believe that? Amen. All three of you. I'm not leaving until I know that you know that you know. Because you can be sitting here 1,000 years from now and say, man, I wish God loved me. Why can't God love me like he does somebody else? God's blessing is not the sign of his love. God's acceptance is the sign of his love. God just loving you is that is his nature. Turn with me to John 17. John 17. Verse 23. Verse 22, let's just, and the glory which you have, which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. Now, Jesus is praying to who? The Father. We just showed you Jesus loves you. Now, if you don't get involved in this, I'm going to have every one of you sing a solo, Jesus loves me, this I know. So you better act like you're listening. Okay? Martha, you're the first one that's going to sing. That you have sent me, now listen to this, and have loved them. Who are them?
Us.
And have loved them as you have loved me. He's talking about the Father. Jesus said, I love you. And now Jesus is saying, the Father loves you as he loves me. How many are getting the picture? So we come to the place where we need to fully understand. Fully. That God loves me even if I'm not performing what I think he should do, I should perform. Man bases things on performance. God bases things on unconditional love. Has anybody ever decided you're just going to walk away from God and do your own thing? Have we ever done that? Anybody? Do you think he quit loving you? Isn't that kind of amazing? We come to a place, if you're going to be allow, if God's, you're going to allow God to minister through you, and it sounds elementary, but the basis of everything about God's relationship to you is that God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Now the one thing he said, and don't forget this, in 15:9, he says, abide in my love. Allow nothing to remain in your mind that tells you God doesn't love you. There's an ocean of love out there. Jump into it. If I'm going, I'd rather drown in his love. Amen? Are we getting it? So how many know this morning that God loves you? Oh, come on. Here we go. I'm starting over again. God loves us. Now, if you ever come and tell me I don't believe God loves me, you have given me the right to slap you. I'm going to learn Taekwondo today. I'm serious. You're laughing. Who wants to be the first one to get slapped? Matt?
No.
Number two. Not only because God loved us and loved us, He's anointed us to do the work He's called us to do. How many of you have ever been afraid to do something for the Lord because you looked at it and said, I can't do that? You're the one He wants to use. It's the professionals He's having trouble with. Hello? You had a chance to say amen. You got your Bibles? Turn to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Verse number one says, this is prophetic, not pathetic. This is prophetic of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Now, I know if you have an inquiring mind, you're saying, how do you know that's of Jesus? It doesn't even mention Him. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Verse number 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Where were we just reading? He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he had closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him, and he began to tell them, don't miss this, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. How could it be fulfilled? He was the one Isaiah was talking about. And then you could look at me and say, well, that's well and good for Jesus. It's nice, Jesus. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse number 20. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. The same Holy Spirit, the same anointing, the same relationship with the Father. He's sending you. Now you say, how do I know it's me? Inquiring mind wants to know. Chapter 17. Verse 17. You ready for this? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Now, them are past tense, okay? Don't stop there. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. This is his high priestly prayer. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. I'm not praying just for these 12, or I'm not praying for these 82, if you're going to add the 70 in there. I'm praying for those who will believe. Who wrote John? Where was John, a disciple? How many realize John wrote a pretty important book under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? How many believe that Jesus is saying, those that believe in reading the book of John? So you've been called, you've been set apart, you've been anointed to do the work that Jesus Christ called his 12 to do. Keep in mind something. This is good, even if I'm saying it. These 12 men were called uneducated and unlearned a few chapters later in the book of Acts. They didn't have any book learning. They didn't have education like you folks have. And so when Jesus told them something, almost anything, they believed it. There was one major thing they didn't believe. Anybody know what it is? He didn't believe he was going to die and rise from the dead until afterwards. So there's an anointing given to us by God to fulfill the Great Commission today, just like it was back in his day. In fact is, we have more than the Old Testament and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until they came to the day of Pentecost. We have more than they have. Are we with me? Amen. So we're not going to take the city just by sitting on the premises. We're going to take the city by standing on the promises. And I can tell you're just all fired up to do it. I can tell you're all fired up to do it. Number three. Not only do we have God's love, not only do we have an anointing, not only did Jesus tell us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse the lepers. And no matter what your job is, that's not your life. Don't associate your life with your job. The job is what you do so you can live. Your life is what God's doing through you. Hello?
Amen.
Performance doesn't make you significant. Do you understand what I'm saying? Performance has nothing to do with your significant relationship makes you significant. And gentlemen, maybe if your wife, if you really treated her nice, you would say, you're significant. Just tell her, you must have good taste, you married me. Hello?
Amen.
Now comes the time. I'm going to take a little time with this because whenever somebody mentions giving, you think of offerings. I'm not talking offerings. Although if you want to give, we'll let you. Giving is deeper than offerings. Giving is placing yourself on the line and taking the risk to help somebody. I believe something the church has failed to do. And I came in yesterday morning and I was just kind of lost. I had a few things written down. And all of a sudden, the Lord just started downloading some things into my spirit. And I thought, wow. We expect people to listen to us. I've heard a lot of people say, and I've said it myself in the Christian realm, well, they don't listen to me. Let me ask you a question. Why should they? Why should I be able to walk into any place and say, I want to tell you about Jesus? Why should they listen? Most people will not listen to your words until they know your heart. And the church needs to remember we're not in the book of Numbers anymore. Our main mission is not to fill this church, although it'd be nice. Our main mission is not to take out our spiritual gun and carve notches for everyone we pray with. I want to tell you something. Please don't forget this because I've played that game before. Revival isn't for reporting purposes. It's for redeeming purposes. It's about seeing people come to the Lord. It's not about building COC or any other church in town. We can have this place packed and have people standing outside, and if we're not doing the work of the Lord, they're just going away cold. Amen. We were talking on Wednesday night about a guy by the name of George Mueller. I think he was in the late 1700s or early 1800s. George Mueller decided to invest his life in orphans. Didn't have money, but he had faith. George Mueller, at times, I believe, had over 100 kids, maybe 200 kids. And very often they'd get up in the morning and they wouldn't have anything to eat. But he'd sit his kids down to the breakfast table and pray. And by the time he was done praying, somebody would knock on his door. You didn't want to drive your delivery truck past his place if you were carrying food because it'd break down. One morning he got up and prayed with nothing there. And we talked about this with Stan and Marilyn on Wednesday night. And as he prayed, the bread truck broke down in front of his place and they had to get rid of the bread. A little while later, the milk truck broke down in front of his place. They gave him the milk. George went to buy another building and offered him just a little bit of what it was worth. And the guy said, no, 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 no. And the guy went and talked to one of his friends and said, this crazy Mueller offered me this money. The guy says, you better take it, otherwise you'll be giving it to him. True stories. So where I'm taking us today is to get the ear of the people. We have to really care for them. We have to really love them. And we have to show them that we love them. I'm going to download and I'm going to just share this with you because I just want you to understand that the Bible says the real Christian, the real religious person, and religion is not a very nice word, but it's in the book of James, are those who take care of the orphans and the widows. The church began to fail when we allowed the government to do what we should be doing. Our government's in $16 trillion in debt, and the church does not know what to do with this money in some cases. I pray that comes here. Okay, look at me. Something I need to do, and I pray you'll follow me. I need to be willing to help people as we're led by the Holy Spirit. I refuse any longer to live under a spirit of poverty. We have allowed poverty to dictate our giving, to dictate what we're doing, to dictate how we live. And there's a fear and a doubt that comes into our minds, and we're always closing our hands. Everybody close your hands once. Okay, I got a $10 bill. Somebody come up here with your hands closed. Tony, come up here with your hands closed. Close them as tight as you can. No, I do. Close them. You're the illustration. You're not getting this for anything. How can I give it to him? Close them. How can God give him something? Huh? Right? Okay, I'm going to give it to your son. No. We look at it and we ask God to bless us with closed hands. And we've allowed a spirit of fear and a spirit of poverty to back away from when God is telling us to do something. Very often lately, God has been saying, Dwight, give that person some money, or give that, put that in the offering. I'm saying, but God, I'm going here and I just got enough money to get there. Put it in there. Invariably, I've given $50 time and time again, and every time somebody gives me $100. So today I'm giving $500. You've got that $1,000 in your bill full. It happens. The thing we have to learn is not to live in a spirit of poverty and understand we're just giving what God has blessed us with. We come to a place where we give what God has blessed us with. It seems like I read somewhere, my God shall supply what? How many of them? Everyone. According to his riches in glory. There comes to a place either the Bible is true or why believe it? And so we tighten our grip on what we have when we don't realize when we let it go, God just pours in more. You know, there's no shortages in heaven. God's never defaulted on a loan. And God never went to the angels and said, can we raise our debt ceiling? Just doesn't happen. When we start realizing we're blessing people with what God has blessed us with, we allow Him to bless us more. A lot of people are in panic. A lot of people watch the election and they don't realize something very important. Number one, God never changed and nothing in this country changed. You say, what are you talking about? We still have the same president. We still have the same Senate. We still have the same House. Even if you look at the news is telling you nothing changed. The government has never been your provider. God is. And so whether or not you'd like to see things go a different way, that has no bearing on it. The bearing on it is the fact that God is still on His throne. He's still surrounded by the angels. He's still in charge of the whole world. And He holds your life together and everything you have by the word of His power. Amen. What's changed is some of our attitudes. What changed is the attitudes. So realize, just like the early church, and you can go to Acts chapter 11, you can go to Philippians chapter 4, you can read how the early church took offerings and sent them to hurting people. Well, sometimes there's better than just taking an offering. Sometimes you can go knock on the door. And as you invest your life into people's life, they'll listen to what you have to say. Amen? If they don't, just cut it off. No, don't. Don't do that. What you're doing is you're investing into the kingdom of God. You're investing into the kingdom of God. And God recognizes and God honors it. I'm not talking about tithes and offerings now. I'm talking about ministering to people who have needs. Are we okay? Are we okay? I'm going to say this because I feel I need to. It's not always best to give somebody money. If they have a food need, buy them food. If they have a gas need, go with them, put gas in their car. I don't like to invest in worldly habits. Okay, now here's the fun part. Smile, I'm getting scared. Expect a return. You see, sometimes Christians don't know how to receive from God. Seems like I read somewhere, cast your bread upon the water and it's going to sink. It's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you. If everything is going to turn out the way some people are looking at our nation, there will be people who need help. I believe, again, it's time to set up a fund that helps the people in our church. But I also believe people in our church needs to help the community. I'm not giving you a political speech. I'm not running for election. But as you share and as you give, don't get caught off guard when God just pours some back into you. And don't say, well, I'm not taking this. Why not? Why not? God says give, and he's talking about alms. He's not talking about tithe in Luke. He's talking about giving alms or helping the poor, helping the needy, helping those that are had some kind of catastrophe. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And then he says something that we don't understand. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you. Come on. Men will give into your bosom. That can be tough. Do you know what has to happen sometimes? Just got to swallow our pride and say thank you. How many believe that? It's true. But what's going on and what God is telling us this morning is that we are going to invest our lives in other people. They're going to see the investment you make and they're going to come to Christ. I believe it. And all that you have to do is listen to the voice of the Spirit. That's all you have to do. It's not, I got to drive around town and knock on every door and see if they want $100. No, don't do that. If you're going to do that, just come to my place. I'll take it. Ask God to lead you to where you're going. As he leads you, be willing to share. You know, that's what the early church started with before Ananias and Sapphira. Paul went about taking offerings for the churches that were in struggling and persecution and going on. But it's not giving things, it's giving of ourselves. And hearing what God is saying. We okay? You say, why do you say that? Because there are times when you talk about doing this, people just back up into a shell. Just happens. Before you get upset and never come back to church, come and see me. I'll give you an offering. I sat yesterday morning and just jotted down many things. Because I've been asking God for this city. My prayer is that you've been asking God for the community you live in. And why not be like the early church when Philip preached? Multitudes came to Christ. Day of Pentecost, 3,000 came to Christ. The lame man is healed, 5,000 came to Christ. That's what it's all about. Seeing communities changed by the Spirit of God.